If you're taking credit as the provider for your family, you're forgetting the one who makes all things possible, from the work you do to the food you buy. Today, here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah continues his study on prayer with a look at the blessings of remembering to ask God for our daily bread. From Prayer, the Great Adventure, here's David to introduce his message, The Prayer for Provision.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're working our way through the Lord's Prayer, phrase by phrase. And today we're going to talk about the phrase that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Lord, I need your help. I need provision. This is the prayer for provision from Matthew 6:11. We'll get to it in just a moment. But let me encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to get a copy of the book, Prayer, the Great Adventure. 260 pages that I wrote during a time when I was really, really focused on this subject because of what I was going through in my own life. The book is filled with information and quotes and stories about prayer that will encourage and bless you and point you in the right direction for your own personal prayer life. It is not a book that lays guilt on you for the lack of praying, but rather a book that encourages you to expect the joy that comes when you pray. And we'd love to send it to you this month for a gift of any size. It is a soft cover book with 13 chapters, in-depth study on prayer, including some outtakes from my journal. In this particular time in my life, I was experiencing some very interesting things, and I tell the little story periodically in the book. This resource is our way of saying thank you for your support of Turning Point during the month of May. It coincides with the series you're listening to on the radio. It is the written source book for the series, Prayer, the Great Adventure. And we would love to send it to you. All you have to do is ask for it when you send a gift to Turning Point during this month to help us get the message of the Word of God out to people all over the world. And now let's open our Bibles again to Matthew chapter 6, and let's begin our two-day study of Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Today, we enter into the part of the prayer that focuses not so much on God, but on us. In the 11th verse of the 6th chapter, our Lord says that after we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," then we're to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." This section to which we are turning today in Matthew chapter 6 is a section that moves us from the spiritual to the material. Someone has said that the prayer starts and ends on the highest of mountain peaks. It starts with "Our Father who is in heaven glorified," and it ends with "kingdom and glory." And in between is the valley where most of us live, the journey between the two places. We live in the place of the need for provision and the need for protection. And it's here that we began to deal with these issues in our lives. In the phrase that we have before us today, there are many lessons for us to learn. In spite of the fact that it's just one little simple phrase, here we will find many of our questions answered. Here, if we study carefully, we will be kept out of the cul-de-sacs of life and out of the dead-end streets of our prayer. For first of all, this petition encourages dependence upon God. When the Lord instructed us to pray for our daily bread, He reminded us that all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what station we may occupy in this life, we are all totally dependent upon the Lord for the daily supply of our needs. It doesn't matter whether we live in an affluent part of the county or whether we live, as someone might say, on the wrong side of the tracks. The Bible says that one and all are alike dependent upon God for daily provision. If we understand this, it will help us to see all humanity as they should be seen. In the 104th Psalm, there is a statement of this dependency, and while I would like for us to look at it, perhaps you can just let me read it to you, and you can stay with me in the train of thought upon which we have started. In the 104th Psalm, we are reminded by the psalmist of the universal dependence of man upon God. Listen to these words. "These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die, and they return to their dust. What does that say? It says that each and every one of us, no matter who we are, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, we owe our next breath to God. We owe our next meal to God. Whatever it is that we have comes from God. God is the one who feeds the mouths of human beings in this world. It doesn't matter which mouth it is or where that mouth is located. God is the one who does that. The Bible tells us that God is even concerned to provide the needs of the sparrow. Someone has estimated that every day God spends more than our national treasury just to feed the hungry mouths of the sparrows. God does that. He is our source, the one to whom we go. And I know some of you who are independent and self-made and all of that. You're saying, that isn't true, Pastor. I went out and you just don't know how hard I worked this week. Man, I put in some heavy-duty hours. We got the bread at Vaughn's. Don't tell me God got that bread for me. I bought it at Vaughn's. In the New Testament, there's a verse that says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we usually, especially in Matthew 4, we take that phrase, that passage, to speak of the priority of the spiritual over the material, that you don't live by the material, you'll really live by the spiritual. But think about it. Think with me back through the process of God's provision of your bread. What is it that causes bread to meet the needs of the human body? How is it that the things which grow from the earth, which we put on our tables and then put into our bodies, how is it that those things provide the energy and the strength for us to exist and to grow and to be healthy? How is it that that happens? It is due to the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He spoke those nutrients into the seed. He spoke that energy into the food. He's the one who makes bread the nourishment that causes us to grow and to thrive as human beings. God did that. If God hadn't spoken in the creative process the nutrients into the seed and the nourishment into the ground and the sun and the rain, and there wouldn't be any food, would there? Someone years ago gave me a little bit of doggerel verse that expresses that. Listen to this. Back of the loaf is the snowy flour, and back of the flour is the mill. And back of the mill is the wheat and the shower, and the sun and the Father's will. Isn't that true? You say, well, I got that bread. Well, where did they get the bread that you got from them? Well, they got it from the mill. Well, where did the mill get what they got to make the bread? Well, they got it from the farmer. And where did the farmer get what he got to give to the mill, to give to the store, to give to you so that you could? He got it from the ground. Well, where did the ground get it? He put it in there. What did he put in? He put in the seed. What's that? That's God's miraculous provision for your need, isn't it? God did that. And back of all of it is God. Your daily bread comes from Him. And whenever you stop to think about that, the next time you sit down to a meal, and it's wonderfully provided, just look around at all of the things at your dinner today. Listen to me. Next time you look at those things that are on your table, just remember that the ultimate source behind it all is God. Most of us don't really appreciate that because we've never really had our food supply challenged, have we? I don't think most of us have. I can only remember one occasion when it was scary to me. I've been in California. Not one Sunday have we ever had to cancel church because of inclement weather. But I started in Fort Wayne, and for the first 12 years I was there, that was kind of an iffy thing every winter. And one winter, it all came at once in one week. I'll never forget it. We got the worst blizzard you'd ever seen. I mean, feet of snow. Out in front of our church was this two-lane highway that was the main artery artery to feed all of the housing projects out there, and it was closed. I mean, you couldn't even see where the road was. All you could tell was the telephone poles on each side kind of outlined the road, but you couldn't see the highway. There was no traffic. We canceled church 3 Sundays, I remember. We were on television live, believe it or not. We microwaved our service to the ABC affiliate station. It was on a couple of places. And we had to do television, so we went and got our camera people on snowmobiles. I went to church on a snowmobile. We got a pianist on a snowmobile and one soloist, and we had church in an empty building and televised it to the whole city. I'll never forget that. And out in front of our church, watch this, someone's had taken their snow shovel, and they had shoveled right down the center of that highway. And I looked out at a sight I'll never forget. People pulling their little sleds down that little slit in the highway to the grocery store and then putting their bread and pulling it back home. And then all of a sudden the word got out that the trucks couldn't get to the store. Have you ever been in a grocery store where nothing was on the shelf? I got there a little late. I could not believe it. The shelves were getting empty. The bread was almost gone. Milk was history. Eggs weren't there. People had come and gotten everything they could, put it on their little sled and pulled it down the road back to their home and hunkered down for a long winter's night. That was kind of scary. Let me tell you something. Whether it's a storm or not, every day you're dependent upon God, aren't you? Every day. When you pray, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." That's a good lesson to learn. It eliminates pride, and it causes you to focus on your dependence. Then secondly, notice this. This petition examines the discipline of our lives. This prayer doesn't say, "Give us this day our daily wants." You don't have to have 14 sacks of bread. You just have to have your need. Someone gave me something they had been reading, and it had some material in it about the Lord's Prayer. And in that was this little thing that I just thought was great. It's called the New Lord's Prayer, a Felt Needs Translation. Listen to this. "Our audience, which are on earth, hallowed or at least greatly esteemed be our name. Our destiny come, our will be done on heaven as it is in earth. Give us today our daily indulgences, and help us to love and forgive ourselves just as we love and forgive others. Lead us not into difficulty, suffering, or unhappiness, but deliver us from unmet needs. For ours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, at least here and now, which is what really counts anyway." End of prayer. Isn't that the way a lot of us live? Whether we like the Lord's Prayer, we kind of live that way. It's sort of self-centered. And the Bible does not tell us that God will meet our daily wants, but He will meet our daily needs. Give us our daily bread. It is a reminder to us of what Paul said to Timothy when he wrote that godliness with contentment is great gain. If we ever sat down and put down what our needs are, they're pretty basic. In fact, if you have your Bibles open to the 6th of Matthew, go over with me to the 31st verse and notice what it says. It says in verse 31, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now, Jesus kind of alludes to what our basic needs are. Someone has said it's what we put on, our clothes, and what we put in, our food, and what we put over, our house. Food, clothing, and shelter. And God says, you ask for your daily bread. By the way, did you ever notice that in the New Testament, in that passage where it says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That if you go back and put all those three petitions down in order, it's ask, seek, and knock. Almost as if God is saying, ask. Ask, seek, knock. Ask. We don't have because we don't ask. Some of you say, "Well, Pastor Jeremiah, I don't have my daily bread." Well, we'd have to talk about that. Because first of all, is it your daily bread or your daily wants? And number two, and this is the most critical, when did you ask for it last time? I know a lot of folks that go around grousing because God doesn't supply their need, and they never ask. Isn't that something? And of course, the reason they don't ask is because you got to show up. You got to show up for prayer once in a while in the morning. How can you ask God for your daily bread if you're working on a week's plan? You know? Ask for your daily bread. Thirdly, this petition eliminates the disease of worry. I love that. Anybody here worry? I know some of you worry about worrying. That's true. What you want this prayer to say is, give us this day next week's daily bread, or next month's daily bread, or Lord, I'd like to check in on how I'm going to be fixed for daily bread at the end of this year because I'm a little worried about this year. This prayer does away with human pride. It brings all humanity before God to request bread. And it not only does away with materialism, as we're reminded it is for our daily bread alone that we are to pray, but I'd like to encourage you with the truth that it does away with worry. The Bible says that our concern is to be that we pray every day for every day's need. We don't have to pray for tomorrow's need. And the older I get, and the more I get bumped around in life, the more I hear myself saying to my wife, we just have to take this one day at a time. We just have to deal with this one day at a time. Life is so daily. Can I get a witness? Aren't we all there? Just one day at a time. We try to worry about tomorrow's thing. We want to talk about tomorrow's bread. And the illustrations of the Bible are so profound. Elijah's experience, for instance, with the miraculous provision that God made for him. Every day came back and the flour was just where it had been the day before. It didn't get used up. Why? Because the supplier is God and he doesn't run dry. He has what we need. And I love the story about the Israelites out in the wilderness and how they got that crummy old bread they didn't like, that manna. You remember what that word means? The word manna means, what is it? That's what the word means in the Old Testament language. So every morning they get up and go out and say, there it is. What is it? What is it? And every day they'd go out and get the what is it. And every day they could collect only enough for that day, remember? In fact, God said, if you collect enough for the next day, what you don't eat today that you thought you were going to save tomorrow when you get up, you're going to say, what is it, all right? Because it's going to be spoiled and it'll stink. Don't do it. And God provided that every day through the week, with the exception of Friday, they could collect enough daily bread for that day. And on Friday, they could collect enough for two because they weren't allowed to collect on the Sabbath day, remember? So they could collect enough for two. And for some reason on the Sabbath, the bread didn't spoil. But you tried doing the Friday thing on Monday and you're in big trouble. God says, one day is all you get. I wish we could get to the place, and I think life, generally speaking, life pushes there, doesn't it? It pushes you in that direction to live in the thing one day at a time. I'm not talking about not planning long range and all of that. I mean, I understand that. But the Bible says we're to plan like it depended on us necessarily and pray like it all depended on God, and it does, really. It depends on Him one day at a time. And when you do that, you don't worry. Someone gave me this. It says, better never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you, for you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. How many of you know that when you worry about tomorrow, you get tomorrow's trouble today? Isn't it true? Why don't you just take the bread God's promised for you today and live on that, get the energy out of it, do what you need to do with that bread, and then realize that when you get up tomorrow, you will have enough energy immediately to worry about tomorrow. But never trouble trouble unless trouble troubles you, because if you do, you get double trouble. That's what worry does. So you don't have to worry when you know God's in control. I love the story about Thomas Carlyle. He's a great man of God who grew up in the city of London. In one of the books of history that I have, he was a great student of the Word of God. Nobody will understand this unless you love to study. But because he lived in a busy section of the city, he built this study. It was like a vault. It was a vault-like structure. It was on the top floor of his house. It was insulated against all the noise of the outside world. I mean, it was like being in a sound chamber. He would go there every day for his study time, lock himself in the room, apart from all the influences that can interrupt his study of the Word of God. He thought he had solved his problem of interruption. until he began to hear a rooster in the neighborhood that had such a shrill, high-piercing crow that three times a day that rooster would interrupt his study and just infuriate him. Finally, he sought out the owner of the rooster and he said, "I built this place so I could study, and I've managed to shut out all the noises of the world except that lousy rooster of yours, and I'd like for you to do away with him. In fact," he said, "I'll be glad to pay you whatever it costs to get rid of that rooster." And the owner of the rooster said, "I don't understand. I mean, it's no big deal. The thing only crows three times a day. I can't understand why you're so upset." Carlyle answered, "Yes, but you can't imagine how I die waiting for those three noises every day." Do you understand that? That's kind of the way we function, isn't it? We worry about